Today's shiur is Masechta Sota Daf Yud Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah Balach Loi Lichtov as a Megillah. The Kohen begins to write the Megillah Sota, the Parsha and the Torah. The focus of today's shiur Mitzvah Hashem is indeed to identify which parts of the Pesukim and Parshas Nasai are included in the parasha that's written that will ultimately be raised. The Mishnah says, Bala Kohen Lichtos Megillah, that the Kohen comes to write the Megillah. So from here we see, says the Rambam, that the halacha is that it must be the Kohen who writes the parasha. And the Rambam writes that in Kosva Yisrael, if Yisrael was the one that wrote this parasha, or kohen cotton, a kohen, but he's a cotton. Psula shnemar, says the Rambam. The pasuk says v'kosef hakohen, and the Rambam is learning that when the Torah writes the word v'kosef hakohen, it means that it must be a kohen. No one else is qualified to write this. So Bala looked at some Megillah. If he comes to write this Megillah, so ask the Mishnah me'ezem makom v'kosef. Exactly where does he begin writing from? Says the Mishnah, from the words of the parasha, Emloi Shachiv Ish, from describing what did or didn't happen. Even though this pasuk is just a description of what might or might have not happened, it's part of what's written. Vatke Sitich Taskin Ishach, and he says, and he continues writing, if you had this improper relationship, Veina Kaisa, but according to this opinion, he does not include writing Vishbiya Koinas Isha, that the Koin, the instructions of what the Koin has to do. The Kaisa, but then he does write Yosef Yitra Hashem Oisach La'olu L'Shvua, that if Chas V'Sholem, you did this wrong thing, you will be cursed. Uvoa Maim Amorim Ma'ele B'Mamayach Litzvais Betn Lampa Yerach, the Maim Amorim will enter your body and they will cause your stomach to swell and your thigh to fall off. Veina Kaisa, but what is not included is when she says, Vrami Isha Amen Amen. Because these are only instructions. And according to this opinion, instructions of what happened and what the Kohen should do or what others should do are not included in this parasha. Rabbi Yossi Amalai Ivan Masik, Rabbi Yossi has a much simpler approach. He says that you write everything, the entire parasha that's written. The Shita Mekubetzes, however, quotes the Rosh that says that even Rabbi Yossi agrees that we don't write the last words, Vrama Isha Amen Amen. And the way the Rosh and the Shita Mekubetzes explains his opinion is because really instructions don't need to be written. The reason Rabbi Yossi holds that we do write instructions because we don't want to skip. But these are the last words. Since these are the last words anyway, there's no reason, and they're only an instruction, they're not written. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kalatzma in a Kosef. Rabbi Yehuda has a different approach. He says the only thing that we write are the curses that the Torah prescribes for the person who chas for the woman who did this, the pasuk that says Yitan Hashem Oisach La'ol L'Shua B'Soich Amech B'Soich Hashem Asirech Noifeles V'Spitnech Tzava, and the pasuk continues, he continues writing Vav Bayim Mamorim Me'elu B'Mayich, that what the effect of the Mayim Mamorim will be. Ve'ena Kosev, and certainly according to Yehuda, not included is writing Amen Amen. Because that certainly doesn't represent the klala, it only represents an instruction of what the woman is supposed to do. Ask the Gemara. The Maikamovsky. So we had in our Mishnah, we had three-way machloikis in our Mishnah, what is or isn't included in the writing of these psukim. So ask the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikis? Says the Gemara, Bahai Kramovsky. The basis of the machloikis is the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'kosav asa'elas a'elah koyin b'sefer." Remeis sover, olos mamish. Remeis is of the opinion that we have to write the olos, the curses. But then the Torah wrote the word ha'olos, adding the hay, l'rabbis, to teach us klolos habos machmas prochus. There's certain psukim that even though they don't actually represent a klola, they don't explicitly say klola, but they're a klol that we could derive. The pasuk says, "Em lo yishachav ish oischach, v'em lo yisotis tuma tachas ishach yinokim emayim amarim elu." It comes to teach us that if you're guilty, you'll suffer, and if not, you'll be fine. Elu, when the Torah used the word Ela, it comes to muti klol shem mishnah Torah. We know that in Parashat Kisavai, the Torah has teichacha. Those teichachas, which are called olois, are not included. According to him, all of the words which are just instructions and where the woman says Amen are all not included. So we try to point out, why does the Gemara speak specifically about the klolos that are in Mishnah Torah? What about, we know that the Torah has the Teichacha twice, once in Parshas Kisavai in Devarim, and once in Pasha B'chukaisai in Seyde Vayikra. Why is the Gemara only focused on the Teichacha and Parshas Kisavai and not on the Teichacha which are written in Parshas V'chukaisai? So Shantz explains the Teichachas that are in Mishnah Torah are written the Lashon Yachid, and therefore we would think that they're included. But the Teichacha which is written in Parshas B'chukaisai, which is written b'loshen rabbim, there's no need to be mentioned. And as Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal explains, because the Megillah Saita, as we're going to learn, is something which is written to the Yachid. Since the Megillah Saita was written b'loshen Yachid, so it makes sense that it should be something which is written b'loshen Yachid may be included. There are, however, Rishonim that seem to learn when the Gemara means to say, to exclude that we don't write the Teichacha, the Gemara means to include also the Teichacha that we don't include the Teichacha both in Parshas B'chukaisai and the Teichacha in Parshas Kisavai. Rabbi Yossi, who disagrees, his opinion is Kulak Amrit. He says everything as you said. However, that the Torah wrote the words Es Ha'olos, so he learns that the Olos, that S is come to teach us l'rabbis tzavos v'kabolos, that the psukim that speak about the instructions and the psukim that speak about the woman accepting this klala or this procedure are included because of that word S. Ask the Gemara for Reb Meir, what will Reb Meir say? Reb Meir says that the Gemara esem l'darish, as the Rishonim explain, that throughout Shas, there's two ways of learning this Gemara. One way of explaining the Gemara is that throughout Shas, Reb Meir doesn't learn S. Another way of learning is, for here he doesn't learn S, other places he's done. Reb Meir, Mashna Hai Demar Bele, the word Hey of Olus, to come, Reb Meir said, Reb Yehuda says the Gemara, Kuba Meir Tereshla. He explains all the words of the Pesukim come to exclude. Olos, when the Torah says the word olos, it means olos mamish. It's coming to teach us only the psukim that actually contain the curse are included, nothing else. Ha'olos comes l'muti klolos abos machmas brachas. If they're not explicit klolos, this pasuk comes to teach us they're not included. Eila l'muti klolos shemesh Torah. It comes to exclude the klolos that are written in the Teichacha. He learns all the words to teach us exclusion. Ask the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda is consistent. He says everything that's mentioned is mentioned here to exclude. But ask the Gemara, Rameya, Mashna Hai Hai de Marbebe, the word Ha'olos, he comes to teach us that Klolos, Habos, Machmas, Brachas are included. Or Mashna Hai Hai de Marbebe. And why the hay of Ela, he says, that it comes to teach us that Ha'ela comes to teach us that Svas and Kabbalas are not included. Answers the Gemara. We always have to look at the context. Hay the Gabi de Ribuya Ribuyu. A hay that's written next to Ribuy is a ribui. Hey, the gabe miuta, the hey that's written with a miut is a miut. So we have to look at the context. But ask the Gemara, what did we say? That Remeis says that there are brachas that are klolos abos mas brachas. But ask the Gemara, v'halesli Remeir meklal after shemehein. Remeir is the man the Amr who doesn't agree that we could extrapolate. Because as the Mefarshim will explain, the Remeir throughout Shas learns that whenever you stipulate, whenever you make a condition, you have to say both sides of the stipulation. If it will happen, so will be. And if it doesn't happen, so will be. Because Remeir, and that's the halacha that we often encounter in Shas, of Tanai B'nei God, or Tanai B'nei God B'nei Ruvein, the Remeir learns from there that one has to be very explicit in articulating himself. So the question is here, why isn't that the case? Why is he allowing that we should learn from if this way or that way? Remeir never subscribes to that approach. Answers the Gemara, according to Remeir, Omer Rav Tanchum Hinoki Ksiv. The way to learn the Torah, he says, according to Remeir, is not that the Torah says, well, if you're innocent, you'll be fine, and if you're not innocent, you will chas v'shalom die. The Torah explicitly says that if you're not innocent, you will pass away. And therefore, it's not considered that we need to extrapolate consistent with Remeir's opinion. Darsha Bekiva, Ishvi Isha, a husband and a wife who are married, Shechina Beinem, the Shechina is between them. Loi Zachu, if they're not, because if we look at the word Ish and Isha, what is the difference between the word Ish and Isha? Is the Ish has a Yud in it, and the woman has a hay in it. Those are the two letters that differentiate between the word Ish and the word Isha. To teach us that what combines them, if they live as they're supposed to live, the Shechina HaKadosha. However, Loi Zachu, if we take away the Yud from the Ish and the hay from the Isha, we're left with Eish Echlosam. So if there's Shalom Ba'is between the husband, so then we have the Shechina there. If Chas V'Shalom, they're not, then we're left with the machlokes that's represented with the Eish. Am Rava, or the Isha Medifa Medish. And the woman will suffer, Chas V'Shalom, in such a situation, more than the husband. Maitama, Hai Metzarif, V'Hai Le Metzarif. We look at the woman's name, we have the word Eish, right next to the letters, Aleph Shin, right next to each other. Whereas if we look at the word Ish, the Yud separates the Ish. The Aleph and Shin are not next together. So the Posh Pshat, how does this Gemara get here? Because we're speaking about a Saita, which of course is an example of a terrible lack of Shalom Bayis. The Mefarshim explain, the Pasuk says, the Shem Hashem that we're speaking about here is the word Yud Hei. Because the Pasuk says, Ki Bekah Hashem Tzor HaLamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bekah, with the letters Yud and Hei, are the letters with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Olam Hazeh was created with the Hei, and Olam Haba was created with the Yud. And that's why they explain that the Hei of Hashem's name is in the Isha, and the Yud in the Shem's name is in the Ish. Because in matters of Gashmias, the woman has the final say. The wife has the final say. And in matters of Ruchnias, the husband has the Yud, the husband has the final say. The Pasuk says, in Parshas Bereishis, that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Loiv toiv hayos adam levadoi. It's inappropriate that a person should be alone, esaloi eza kenegdoi. And that's why Rashi in Pasuk Chumash says, Zocha, ezaloi, if the person is zocha, his wife is there to be his ezer. Loi zocha of chas v'shalom. She's not that way. Kenegdoi, she challenges him. because Zocha, what does Zocha mean? Zocha means that they have the Shechina between them. If they're Zocha and they have the Shechina with them, then she's an Ezer Kenegdoi. Loi Zocha means that the Shechina is not in their home, and if the Shechina is not there, then of course it becomes a situation, unfortunately, it becomes a situation of Kenegdoi. The Pasuk says the Cheshav Sofer, V'yavis Nodav Aviyu Lefnei Hashem, Bekrivim Eish Zara Lefnei Hashem. Nodav and Aviyu passed away when they brought the Eish Zara. And there are many explanations offered why did they pass away. And one of the reasons given is Shloi Nosu Noshim, that they never get married. So, explains the Cheshav Sofer. We just learned in our Gemara, Ish V'Isha Zachu, if a husband and wife Azoicha Shechina B'neim Loizach Eshach Lasam, and if a person gets married, he has the opportunity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being in his home. They Nadav and Aviyu who did not get married, they didn't have that Shechina, and if they didn't have that Shechina, they didn't have the Yud, and since they didn't have the Yud, they were left with the Eish, and that's why the pasuk says, but Eisha Chlosson, they were devoured by fire. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Mnei Ma Amar Torah, Havei Ofa L'Soita, because the Torah says, bring offer to the Soita, V'yotz Men Ben Kavram Avinu, and if somebody does so, they will have children like Avram Avinu, Tiksibe, Avram Avinu says about himself, Anoichi Ofer V'Efer, Loi Zacha, but if she didn't act the way she was supposed to act, Tachs La'afra, she'll go back to the girth. So the Pesach Adayim explains that the purpose of this Gemara is to teach us that offer, why offer is part of this procedure. Mayim is not considered, not a question, because the Mayim is the Mayim of the Mekir, which are Mayim Kedoshim. So it's understandable why that water is used. What the Gemara is trying to say is that why offer is brought. So the Ian Yaakov explains that why if a soita turns out to be innocent, does she get the schus, is she privileged to have a son, dafka like Avram Avinu? Because he explains, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, V'kimoisis brisi liyus l'cholakim l'zarecha achrecha. The Zarecha Achrecha means the Zera, the children who are Miyuchas Achrecha, those children who follow your way. And therefore, Avram Avinu is the one that was taught about the importance and the schus of having children who are Miyuchasim. And the Saita, with her behavior, is the person who doesn't have that type of behavior. And because we don't know the status of her children, and that's why she's not Soicha, that's why Avram Avinu is brought in here. I saw another pshat that Rashi says that when Yitzchak was born, the Tzone Hador, the people who weren't serious, was saying that me Avimelech this Abrasara, that Sara actually got pregnant from Avimelech. But we know, of course, that that is not true, and that Yitzchak was Avram's son. That's what we're saying. The Soita, if she's innocent, there will be no question on the yichus of her children. They would certainly be her husband's children. Darsh Rava, B'schar Sham Avram Avinu, and the schar that Avram Avinu said, V'noichi Ofa V'Efer, Zocha Bana L'Shnei Mitzvahs. His children were Zocha to two mitzvahs that are used with Ofa V'Efer. Efer Parah, which is used for the tahara of when somebody becomes tamei, vayfasaita. These two mitzvahs both reflect tahara. The Ein Yaakov explains the why were we zeicha dafka to these two mitzvahs. So he goes back to explain something that we've spoken often about Asher in Ashurim, because it's midah kenegan midah. These two mitzvahs, which represent tahara and Klal Yisrael, are mitzvahs that bring the Shechina to Klal Yisrael. And a person like Avram Avinu, who acted in such a modest fashion, a person who acts in a modest fashion is the person who brings the Shechina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Dubna Magid has a wonderful mashal on this Gemara. He says there was somebody who made a wedding, and he invited guests, and amongst the guests that he invited was a very special person who was very modest. He asked this person, of course, to sit at the dais, at the head table. The person, being so humble, refused to sit there. So what did he do? He said, wherever you sit, the host said, wherever you sit becomes the head table. So too, says the Dubna Magid about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was so humble, and he said, "V'anochi ofa ve'efa." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because you're an individual who is so humble, I'm going to put mitzvahs next to you. The Beis HaLevi also says, the fact that Avraham Avinu said, "V'anochi ofa ve'efa," was very deliberate. He says that we look at Efer, ash, is something that has a past but doesn't have a future. Ofer is something that has a future but doesn't have a past. Avraham Avinu, when he wanted to belittle himself, he says, "V'anochi ofa ve'efer." I'm something that doesn't have a past or a future. And because he said it in such a modest way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him these two mitzvahs. And he explains, Ofa Soita is in contrast to earth, which doesn't have a past, but Ofa Soita, we're determining that her past was appropriate and that she is innocent. And the Mai and the Efa Para speak about the future, that even though this person currently will be able to be tar and have a brighter future. Ask the Gemara, but aren't there other mitzvahs that also reflect the offer? V'ika nami offer kisi adam. We spoke the other day, in the previous year, that the halacha is that if somebody shechts a chay or oif, you have to cover the blood with kisui adam, with offer. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, when we think about the mitzvah of kisui adam, it's a hechsher mitzvah. It's not something which is a mitzvah in itself. All it does is that it's part of the shechita process. Hanoa leka, but there is no actual hanoa from that mitzvah. Whereas we speak about soita and we speak about tohara, these are things that are included. And Din Yaakov says that the Gemara meant to ask that in a way, Kisui Adam is a more significant mitzvah than the other mitzvahs. Because the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, Efer Parah, and the mitzvah of Ofa Soita doesn't continue to exist. But the mitzvah of Kisui Adam continues even Bezman Hazeh. Darsh Rava, B'schash Amar Avraham Avinu, and the Schadar Avraham Avinu said to the Melech Sdoim, after he had the war with the four Melochim, and he saved the Melech Sdoim, Avraham Avinu declares, Harimaisi Yad El Hashem, Kel Elyoin, Koinei Shemayim V'oretz, and he declared, Im Mechut V'tzroi Chanal, I won't take anything from you, Zochu Banav L'Shnei Mitzvahs. His children had two mitzvahs, Chut Shot Chelis, the Chut of Chelis and the Tzitzis, and the Ritzuah Shot Filim. Says Rashi that because Avraham Avinu separated himself from stealing, he didn't want to take anything that he didn't want to take. That's why he got the schar. The Eitz Yosef explains that Avraham Avinu did a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. That saved everybody. He was certainly deserving of a reward. And he refused the reward, that created a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And I saw the Mefarshim explain that Avraham Avinu was very much deserving of everything that the Melech Sdoim had. Because the halacha is, that the Gemara says this, in Masechet Baba Kama, Kuf Yudal, Ramad Aleph, Ha Matzel Miad Listem Goyim Muchus Goy, if somebody saves somebody's property from someone else, the person who saves it is deserving to keep it. So Avraham Avinu was deserving to keep this, and he didn't. He didn't take it for himself. That's why he deserved these tremendous schar. And the morale explains that what is the connection? He says that what Avraham Avinu showed in this refusal is that he's satisfied with what he has. He's not looking for more. When a person puts on tzitzis, and when a person puts on tefillin, he's showing that I am complete when I do mitzvahs. And what Maral explains, what happened over here is that the person was saying, that Avraham Avinu was saying, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, you Avraham Avinu demonstrated that in your mind, a person being complete is complete not with monetary, with having more money. A person is complete by being closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way, of course, we become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by the performance of mitzvahs. And that's why he got these two mitzvahs. The Masha explains that even though the Torah is very clear in when the Torah mentions the mitzvahs of mitzvahs and tefillin, or isem ha'isoyis chatzos kol mitzvahs Hashem, and the same thing when tefillin, the Torah explains the tefillin. But so how could the Gemara ask the Masha suggest that these mitzvahs were given b'schar or what Avraham Avinu did? So explains the Masha that what it means to say is that the ritzuis of the tefillin that we use, the straps, are extra. And that part of the mitzvah, which isn't an essential part of the tefillin, Avraham Avinu got because of that. And another pshat, and regarding the tzitzis could accomplish whatever they accomplish without having the strand of tcheles. As we know, b'zman hazeh, many people don't wear tcheles. So we see that the mitzvah can be accomplished without the tcheles. Because of Avraham Avinu, we got the ritzuas on the tefillin and the tcheles in the tzitzis. Says the Rabishlam ritzuas shel tefillin, the ksiv rokal ha'amaretz, kishem Hashem nikra lecha, v'tan Reb Leza ha'godl, eilu tefillin shebaroish. So we see the power of the tefillin shebaroish, as all the mefarshim explain, that we look at the ritzuah, we look at the tefillin shel Rosh, and most of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, the name Shakai, are in the tefillin shebaroish, because we have the shin on the backs and the dalet in the back of the tefillin shel Rosh. So that's why they're called tefillin shebaroish. I saw a beautiful story. The Shulchan Aruch Harav was once in a city, and the people came to tell him that there was a pogrom being planned where they would come to attack the Jews. And everybody was very scared and everybody was hiding. And the Shulchan Aruch Harav remained very, very calm. And the danger was growing every moment until they were almost in the home where the Shulchan Aruch Harav, where the Baal HaTanya was. At that moment, the Chassidim came and told the Baal HaTanya, they're here to attack us. What are we going to do? The Baal HaTanya put on his tefillin and he stood by the window. And as soon as the attackers saw the Baal HaTanya standing by the window wearing the tefillin, they ran away. The Chassidim said to the Rebbe, isn't this an incredible miracle that you just performed, that they just saw you wearing tefillin and they ran away? So he says, no, we just learned, it's an explicit Gemara that we just learned. Didn't the Gemara said, all the nations will see that the name of Hashem is on you, and the Gemara says, Eilu tefillin shebaroish. So we see, the Gemara says that tefillin shebaroish causes that they should be frightened from us. There's no great miracle here. So they asked him, if there's no great miracle here, why do we only find that this happens by you? Why don't we find, we all wear tefillin, yet we don't find that the attackers run away from us just because we're wearing tefillin. So the Baal Tanya answered, that too is explicit in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Eilu tefillin sheberosh. The Gemara is very careful in saying tefillin sheberosh, the tefillin that aren't in the head, not al harosh. People who only wear the tefillin al harosh, on their head, but they don't take the lesson of the tefillin and put it sheberosh, put it into their head, so the tefillin don't have that power. But if you take the tefillin and sheberosh, you put the tefillin into your head, then they are extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. What does meant with chut shatcheles? Says the Mar, the Tanya Yeremei Omer, manishtana tcheles. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose that we should have put tcheles on our tzitzis, b'kol mina tzvoinim, versus any other color? The tcheles, the color of the tcheles, is similar to the color of the ocean. V'yam doim l'rukia, and the ocean, the sea, is similar color to the sky. Rukia doim l'kise ha'kovid, and the kise ha'kovid is that color as well. Shenema v'yar v'yiru es olkei Yisrael, v'sachas raglov, k'masa livnes ha'saper, v'ka'etza shemayim l'tayar, v'tzav v'ksiv, k'mar evin saper demus ha'kise. So, there's two ways that I sort of mafarshim explain this Gemara. That every one pshat is that by wearing tzitzis, we are constantly reminded of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another pshat is that by us wearing tzitzis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly reminded of us. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees Klal Yisrael wearing tzitzis, it causes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always remember how Klal Yisrael and how Klal Yisrael are devoted to him, and because of that, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanos on us. The pasuk says by Kairach, the pasuk says Vayikach Kairach, and Rashi explains what did he do. So Rashi explains that he put on the people talis shekula tcheles, a talis that's made completely tcheles, and he wanted to know if they're chayiv and tzitzis or not. Says the Sefer Imre Yehuda, what happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu said that even if you're a person that's completely tcheles, you're a great individual, you still need to wear tcheles separately, because every Jew, no matter who he is and no matter how great he is, always has to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're a talis, a tkula tcheles, you could be the greatest Jew. You still need to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you will not be able to succeed. Continues the Mishnah in describing on what is the parasha of the Soita written. Says the Mishnah in the Kaisel Loyaluach, one should not write it on a tablet of wood. V'loyal anayir, they used to make paper out of grass, or some say from shmatis, from clothing. Veloy al-diftera, were leather that wasn't properly prepared. The way klaf is prepared is they first put the hide into salt, then afterwards it's put into flour, and afterwards it's put into hafatzim. And diftera is hide that was put into flour and salt, but was not put into hafatzim. The Tosfos points out that b'zman hazeh we don't use hafatzim, but the halach is they use sid. But the point is that it wasn't completely processed. El al Megillah, it has to be written on klaf that was completely processed. Shenemar, the pasuk says the kasa b'sefer. It has to be written b'sefer. B'sefer means that it was written, that was completely processed. And as therefore Tosfos explains, if the way we process klaf ben zman hazeh, whatever the process is, as long as the process is complete, then you can write on it. Ben kosev le kumam, you can't write with kumam as an ink, which is the sap of a tree. V'loy b'kanketam, it's a type of ink that comes out of tar. V'loy b'kol dav shoreishim, anything that is absorbed by the klaf and not erasable. Ella, b'diyoy, it has to be written with ink. Shnema, it has to be written with ink. Ink, which is erasable. Ela b'diyoy, shnema mocha mayim amorim. You have to write it with a ink. Ksav shochalim chayis, something that can be written. The Sfas Emes says, does it have to be the yoy, or does it have to be an ink that is written? And the Bi'al Locha says that's actually a machloikus of the Rambam Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Rambam, it doesn't have to be the yoy. It has to be something that has the characteristics of the yoy. Rabbeinu Tam, however, holds that the Mishnah says the yoy. What the Mishnah means to say with the yoy is that it has to be actually the yoy. I'm a Rava. Says Rava, Megillah Saita Shekos Belaila. If the Megillah Saita was written in the evening, Psula. My Tama, Asya Torah Torah. We learn Xer Shava. Ksiv Hocha, the Pasuk regarding the parish of the Saita says, Vosla Koin Eskola Torah Zois. The Ksiv Hassan regarding the Zakim Mamre, an individual who said different than the Sanhedrin. The Pasuk says there, Vosloy Koin. Now, Mishpat refers to a din Torah of Dinei Mamonos. And a din Torah of Dinei Mamonos always has to be conducted by day. Ma Mishpat b'yoyim, af Megil Saita has to be done by day. So the Miri asks, why can't we learn it that from the Karban Saita? We've spent time and we will continue learning in Mitzvah Shem, the Aloch of the Karban Saita. And a Karban could only be brought by day, says the Gemara, says the Miri, it could be that they could be done at different times. And that's why the Gemara had to use this Kseri Shava. Kasal Mafreya, if the Megillah Saita was written in the wrong order, it was written backwards, Psula. The Ksiv, the Pasuk in this parasha says, the Kasuv as Ha'el as Ha'ela, Ki the Ksiva. They have to be written in the order that's written in the Torah. Kasa Kodesh the Kabbalah Shvur. If the Kohen wrote the Megillah before the woman accepted upon herself the Shvur, also Psula. It's disqualified. Shnema Veshbia. First the Kohen makes a swear, and only afterwards the Kosav. Kosri Igeris. It was written like a letter, which is without certit, without the lines being, without the words, with each line having a line under it, Psula. Says the Gemara, could be Sefer Amrachmana. And the difference between a sefer and a geris is that a sefer has sirtit, and a megillah, an egeris does not have. So the Rishonim already asked that the halacha is that when you write words of the Torah, you have to write them with sirtit. So why was it necessary for the Torah to teach us a special limud? If we're writing words of the Torah, sirtit is automatically required. So the Rishonim explained that there are two parts of the sirtit. One part of the sirtit is having lines around what we're writing, and the other part of sirtit is having lines under what we're writing. What we're learning here is that if we didn't have a special limud, we would say that it's adequate to have sirtit around what we're writing, but not under what we're writing. That's why the limud is coming to teach us that we have to have lines both around what we're writing and also under what we are writing.